Good evening, everyone.
I know it's been a while since y'all have seen me up here. It's all good to be back. My lesson tonight is titled, May I Speak to Your Supervisor? And, you know, you might have to say, like, may I speak to your supervisor? Whatever, however you say it, whenever you're speaking to whoever it is that you're speaking to at a store or something. But the topic tonight is about the relationship between authority and submission. Now, both of these in our society today have negative connotations, just because of how the world is. You know, when you hear authority, I know most people, I'm automatically thinking the police. You know, you hear submission, you know, depending on who you are, you might be thinking UFC. Like, you know, they put people in submissions. if you think of submission, you might be thinking of turning something in, submitting a test or something like that, your submission. But the definitions of these, as defined by, well, I looked them up on Google. Authority is the right, the power or the right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. And submission is to accept or yield to a superior force or to authority or the will of another. So let's turn to, let's take a look at this and how and see how it relates in the Bible. So we're going to turn to Luke 7, 1 through 10. And I'm going to read and I'm assuming nobody knows the story, so that, you know, we're starting from base level. So, I'll read Luke 7, 1 through 10. After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now, a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue. And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I, too, am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, turning to the crowd that followed him and said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. So, as you see, authority is something, it's oftentimes referred to as a position. When someone holds authority, they have been appointed or they have been set in this position by somebody else. And normally that's a person with more authority than the person that they set. So ultimately, authority ultimately comes from God, because God is the highest position that is held in our universe. You know, God is the top. So all authority is passed down from God, ultimately, when you begin to realize that. That anybody who is put in a position of authority, their position of authority was appointed by somebody else. And the funny thing about authority is authority, true authority, only comes when you are submitted. You have to submit to the person who's over you. You have to submit, you have to, like we read in the definition, accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. So to have authority, you must be submitted to authority. Whenever this Roman centurion, whenever he appeals to Jesus, he says, I have soldiers under me. You can just say the word and it will happen because you have the authority. You hold that power, Jesus. He recognized that. is that, as a man in authority, I tell my soldiers to do things, it happens, it gets done. So he knows that Jesus has the authority over nature itself to just say something and it goes, it happens. So ultimately, disrespecting authority or coming against authority is coming against God. And so we ask, why would people have a problem? Why do we have a problem in today's society recognizing authority? Why do we have a problem with authority? Well, there's a couple of reasons. In today's world, no one feels the need to submit anymore. Why? Well, one, they want to be their own gods. Of course, they want to hold the position of God. That's what the world does. That's ultimately why they don't submit to God. That's ultimately why they aren't in the church, because they want to rule their life. They want to make the rules. They don't want to submit to God, so they don't submit to anybody. In today's society, everybody has an opinion. Everybody, thinks this, thinks that. And everybody's opinion, you can find something on the internet. The internet contributed to this as well, that you can find something to back your opinion, and now you become the authority on any given subject, where now you make the rules, or your opinion can be supported by some random article you found on the internet. Truth in society now is subjective. So truth isn't solid truth. We hold the Bible to be true. Well, in society, they say, truth, it depends. One thing could be true for you that's not true for somebody else. But that's not necessarily truth. The truth is the truth regardless of what you think or what anybody else thinks. The truth is the truth. It can't be swayed by opinion. It can't be swayed by other outside factors. The world has this idea of freedom, not being submitted to anybody. But the true freedom actually comes when you do submit. Because when you think about submission, you're not forfeiting all the way your free will, but underneath your free will, you are submitting yourself, saying that even though, and that's the thing about submission, is that you don't necessarily have to agree with the authority, but you submit anyways, because that's the nature of submission, is that you don't have to agree with this person, but because you recognize them as the authority, you submit anyways. So the thing, that's the nature of authority, is that authority and submission are linked to each other. So what happens when authority isn't respected? Well, we can see this in Jonah. So if you would turn with me over to Jonah. And recently, I believe it was Brother Curtis preached a lesson on Jonah. But let's just turn over here and recap real quick. And I'll just go to Jonah 1. So here we go. And I'll read Jonah 1 to about 6. And I read, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. For their evil has come up before me, But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, each cried out to his own God, and they hurled cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep." So what happens when you don't respect authority? God hurls a storm at you. Whenever you don't respect the authority, whenever you disrespect authority, you ultimately disrespect God. And to disrespect God is to go against nature. When you're trying to swim upstream, everything is going to push against you. Because everything else, and as you read through Jonah, you'll read that God appointed certain things to happen. God appointed the fish to come. If you read it, it's in there. God appointed the fish to come get Jonah. God appointed the tree whenever he finally gets to Nineveh and he's like sitting outside. God appoints the tree to grow over him, and then he appoints the worm to come in and eat the tree and kill the tree. All these things God appointed because God is the authority. He can do this. He can tell them to do these things, and they'll do it. You know, all nature has no problem. It's just us humans, because we have, you know, the will, the free will to not do what God says, that we be like, oh, well, I don't think I'm going to do that one, God. You know, and I know the Bible says that, but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do that. But so ultimately, whenever you go against God, you're fighting against nature. You're fighting against the natural flow of things. And again, power is given. Power comes from submitting. Ultimately, Jonah had to submit to God to even have the power to deliver this message. So when we submit to authority, most of the time it's voluntary. You know, whenever you call the police because you think they're coming to help you. You know, that's why it's so like tragic when, you know, you see a couple of bad apple cops that do what they do. But the main purpose of police is to protect and serve. And that's what authority does. It protects and it serves. When you're placed in a position of authority, you are there to serve those under you. You are there to and essentially protect those under you. On your job, you have a supervisor. What's the supervisor's job? The supervisor's job is to assist you in whatever it is you're doing, whether it is through instruction, giving you tools, giving you a guide, like how to do this thing. However it is, your supervisor is going to tell you basically, you know, your job description, what you're going to do. And that person is ultimately responsible for you. If something doesn't go right on the job, that person is going to be held. Whenever the person who's in authority over them comes and asks them what happened, that person is going to be held responsible because they are the supervisor. People who are in authority are in submission to higher authority. And submission allows you to have upward growth. Whenever you submit, you know, you have to humble. It ultimately comes down to humbling and a pride and being able to swallow your pride and not having pride enough to be like, you know, this person is over me. Because, even to say that, I know men especially, because, you know, we all got, you know, prideful streaks. It is what it is, you know. But, you know, it's hard for us to be like, you know, this person is over me, or this person holds a higher position for me. You know, sometimes just that fact alone takes to swallowing a bit of pride, you know, to say that. But whenever you do submit and truly submit, it allows you to move upward in authority. It allows you to gain authority. You know, even me right now, I'm coming to you submitted under authority. You know, I have to be submitted to my dad, to Brother Curtis, to even come to you to deliver this message. You know, I have to be submitted myself. I can't just come up here and, you know, all right, guys, today we're going to talk about cotton candy. You know, I can't just come up here and talk about, or Jordans, you know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about shoes, because that's what I think is important. You know, I can't just come up in here and talk about whatever it is that I want to, because I'm submitted. I'm submitted under, first, the authority of the Bible, and then those who are over me. So whenever you submit, it allows you to ultimately move up. And the Roman soldier was submitted to other superior officers. I read a different version, and it said superior. He said, you know, I'm submitted to superior officers. And he was given authority over soldiers. So as you can see, that dynamic is even there in the story, where he says, I'm a man submitted to authority, and I have soldiers under me as well. And I tell them to go, and they go, and I tell them to do this, and they do this. So in that moment, also, what we don't see is that the Roman soldier was submitting to Christ. He was recognizing Christ's authority, and in recognizing Christ's authority, he submits. And, you know, he says, like, you know, Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house no more. Don't even come. Don't even come in my house. You know, you're too high in the ranking to even be associating with me. Don't even come in my house. Just say it, and I know it'll happen, because you have that much authority. So, as the church is submitted to Christ, and Christ is submitted to God, ultimately, you know, Christ gets all his power from God because he's submitted to God. You know, when Satan comes to, you know, test Jesus, Jesus doesn't, you know, call in all his power and stuff. No, he does what God has, you know, said him to do. He refers back to God's word, which is ultimately what we should do as well. You know, demons fear us because we're submitted to God. As Christians, you know, we're the lights in the world. We're the ones scaring out all the demons. We're the ones who should be fighting sin. But in order to do that, we have to be submitted to God. We have to, it's not God's power. I mean, it's not our power. It is God's power that is the one that's scaring them. It's the one that's driving out. The one that gives us the ability to overcome sin. All of that comes from being submitted to God first. If you're not submitted to God, it doesn't matter how many times you try, you come up against sin, you're going to lose. You're going to lose every time. So, and even sin can have authority, and you can be submissive to your sin. So, where do we see this? Well, let's turn to Genesis 4. Genesis 4. And I'm just going to read verse 7. Or I'll read verse 6 through 7. We're talking about Cain and Abel here. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it." So God is telling Cain here that you have to, like, first of all, sin is outside the door, which means ultimately you have to open the door and invite sin in. And its desire, sin has a desire itself, is contrary to you, to rule over you. It wants, sin itself wants to rule over you. It wants you to submit to its authority, submit to the will of your flesh. When you willingly give into your, and that's one of probably the only unforgivable sin is not repenting, giving in solely to your flesh, saying, you know, it is how it is. You know, this is how I am. This is my flesh. This is what I desire. And because it's what I desire is and built inside of me, I can't deny that. You know, I'm just going to, you know, let it rule over me. But that's what sin wants. That's what Satan wants. Satan wants you to let your own desires just rule over you. But we must rule over it. As God, as the Lord was telling Cain here, we have to rule over sin. So, what's another place we go to? Matthew 6, 24. And you don't have to turn with me, but if you want to, you can. And I'll read. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The thing, and as you see, we all serve something. We all are submitted to something, even whether we realize it or not. We're submitted to something, or multiple things we're submitted to. And these things, you know, it might be voluntary or unbeknownst to us that it's voluntary, but either still, if you're submitted to something, it's something that you want to be submitted to. It's something that you were able, that you allowed to influence your will. You know, because submission, again, going back to the definition, is allowing something else to sway your will, coming under the will or authority of somebody or something else. So, as you can see, we all are submitted to something. We're all slave to something. There's something we all willingly are slave to, that we willingly submit to. And most of the time, you know, we're being real, a lot of these things that we submit to in our world, they may not be good things. You know, if we're ultimately, we should be submitted to God above all else. But because our flesh sometimes gets the better of us, you know, we submit to other things. We submit to the flesh And, you know, that's why Jesus had to come down, you know, to die on the cross, because we could not submit completely to God. We just couldn't do it. So another verse I'm going to read is Colossians 3:22. Actually, no, I'm going to read Ephesians 6:5-9 first. Okay, Ephesians 6:5-9. And it reads, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free." So, again, coming back to submitting to authority is basically submitting to God. You submit to authority because God said so. That is, you know, clearly you see there, not, you know, even if you disagree with the authority, you submit in goodwill because you know that God will reward you for your submission. That ultimately God is going to, when you submit, that there goes again, the submission brings you into a higher place of authority. You know, you have, again, if you don't submit to God, you won't have any power. Even your life will show that you're not submitted to God, because if you're not truly submitted to God, you're not going to live the way you should be living. And it's going to show, ultimately. And that will weaken your power, ultimately, when you're coming to preach the gospel. You know, ultimately, we have power over other, you know, over sin, over the world, you know, because Christ has overcome the world. You know, we have power over that through him. But if we're not submitted to him, we'll never have access to that power. It'll never, you know, we'll never be able to grow and blossom into the people we know we can be if we're not truly submitting to Christ, if we're not truly submitting there. So, and then I'm going to read Colossians 3:22. So, again, it's pretty much the same thing he's saying again here. "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." So you're not even doing it for you. You're just doing it because God says so. You know, God appointed, and again, I go back to the thing where God appointed these people in these positions of authority. You may not agree with the people, even like, you know, people in political stuff. You may not agree with them, but you really shouldn't worry about it because God appointed them there, if that makes sense. At the end of the day, it is what it is. God made that decision, and God sees the bigger picture. And ultimately, submission, you know, it allows you to relax because you don't have to worry about those things. Whenever you submit to God because you know God is handling it, the authority, any type of authority at the job, you don't worry about payroll because you know your boss is handling it. He's supposed to handle that. You know, you're supposed to get paid. God is, you know, master of the universe. You shouldn't worry about anything in his sphere because he's going to handle it. He's the authority on these things, which is why, you know, the Bible says, you know, you're not going to gain anything by worrying about it. You know, prayer, petition, so just so that you can get it off your heart, but God is going to handle it ultimately because he's sovereign Lord over all. So, in these verses, you can see that even the slaves are submitted to God simply because God says so in the verse. And then let's flip over to, oh, never mind, I already read that. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, Ephesians 5:22-26. And this is the verse, basically, now this is a trigger verse, you know. I know y'all didn't throw stuff at Chief this morning, but, you know, please don't throw stuff at me whenever I read this. So Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and as and is himself its Savior. Now the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to their husbands. Hold on, I'm not done. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So now, a lot of times, you know, you hear this verse, and a lot of, you know, people will be like, especially with the women movement that's happening right now, where it's like women want to be in charge and stuff like that. And then, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I think, why wouldn't you want to submit? You know, at the end of the day, it's not about like them, you know, because there are people who abuse power. But ultimately, you know, as the wife, you know, you become the queen of the castle, and you don't have to worry about anything because all that stuff, because as a man in authority, you are a servant. And I'm sorry, guys, I'm telling them the secrets, but you're a servant. You're there to, as a man in authority, you're there to serve and protect. You know, as the police are, you're to serve and protect. So everybody who's under you, your wife, your kids, you're serving and protecting them as the head of your household or as, you know, the leader. That's why I said, you know, so, you know, submission is honestly the best thing, you know, at the end of the day, because as the submitted person, you don't have to worry about those bigger issues. You don't have to worry about those bigger issues. But again, I go back to those who are in authority shouldn't abuse their power, of course. If you're in authority, again, you're there to protect and serve. You know, that's why I said the police, you know, protect and serve. So, yeah, he's the leader, but he's also the servant. So if you're not submitted to authority, you have no power. I know people have heard things like citizen's arrest, you know. Those people ultimately have to be submitted to the authority. You can't just go out here and claim whatever it is, oh, you know, I don't have a good example for this one, but to go out and just arrest somebody, you know, and you're not the police, you know, to do a citizen's arrest, you have to be submitted to authority. You have to say, hey, look, the law is the authority. That's what you're referring to. It's like you're breaking the law and there are no cops around, so I'm going to arrest you for, you know, let's see how that works. But, but, you know, you can try. And again, I refer to myself, you know, I'm submitted under authority. That's the only way I could be here. You know, I'm sure if I was a rebel and I was rebelling against authority, Chief would not allow me to be up here talking to y'all at all. So let's turn to Romans. Romans 6, 15 through 23. I'm sorry for all the verses, but I want to drive this point home. Romans 6, 15. I'll start there. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. The committed word right there means that you voluntarily, and he talks about from the heart, you voluntarily submitted yourself to, you know, this doctrine. And having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness, I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you were once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now you present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So when we stop serving ourselves, or we stop serving sin, then we become slaves to righteousness. It's not, you know, we didn't become, quote-unquote, free. We switched, but we switched teams. We served a different master now. You know, once we were our own master, we were doing what we wanted to do, or what our natural flesh, our natural inclinations led us to do. But no, we switched, and when you submit yourself under God, then he gives you power and authority over sin. You know, you see that dynamic again. You submit under God, he gives you power over sin. So when you're a slave to Christ, you get power over sin and selfishness. Now, the reason people don't like submission, they don't like to hear, don't even like to hear that word, is because it requires discipline. And discipline is the key to that revolving relationship between authority and submission. If you don't have discipline, you'll never be able to submit. If you don't have discipline, you'll never be able to submit, and you'll never be able to have that authority. You'll never have that power. We look at, you know, Moses. Moses, we see, was a good leader, even though he didn't want to talk. You know, God got upset with him. I was going to read that passage, but I don't know how we're doing on time. But when we don't submit, then we build stuff. We have things like tolerances, things that we were tolerating that we wouldn't have tolerated in the church, that Paul and Peter and the rest of the apostles would not have tolerated in the first century church. Now is okay. We've laxed up a little bit because we're not holding to the Bible as the authority. We're not recognizing God's authority through his word. You know, and now it's like, now you got feelings. Again, I said it's the subjective truth. Now you got feelings over truth. It's like, well, I feel like, you know, homosexuality isn't so bad, you know. They can have it in the church. It'll be all right, you know. Whereas you read the Bible, it clearly says, no, like, God don't like that. So it's extremely critical that we understand who is the boss, who is in authority, and why do we submit to these people who are in authority. You know, coming back to the job analogy, how are you going to do your job right if you don't know who your boss is? How are you going to know what you're supposed to do for the day or your instructions for that day if you don't know who your boss is? You don't recognize them as the authority. If you don't recognize them as the authority, you know, you probably blow them off. You'll probably, you know, do whatever. So the Bible, or the Word of God, is the authority for us. You know, the Holy Bible, the Holy Book, is how we get our instructions from God. So how do you know God? Well, you have to hear. Somebody has to teach you. You have to hear the Word of God, believe what you have heard, confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and repent of your sins, then be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and then live faithfully unto death. That's the only way that you ultimately come. And all of those are steps in, you know, securing your submission. So if you need to do these things or have a need for a special prayer, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.
Who at the door?